This is Destination Unlocked with me, Daniel Edward.
Just about ready to depart.
Please make sure your seatbelt is not fastened and do make yourself comfortable.
Hey, welcome back to Destination Unlocked. Hope you are well. And today, excited for a journey across to Nigeria. Destination Unlocked is a conversational travel podcast that's all about bringing you destinations with authentic locals and expert travelers. Today we're going with an authentic local. She lives in Lagos and she is at the heart of the art scene there. Vanessa Jev is the director of the Lagos International Theatre Festival, and it's on for its third year in 2026. So if you'd like to book your tickets, now is a great time to book them ahead of this year's festival, which is coming up in November. Well, I think it's about time we get into it and meet Vanessa. Enjoy. So Vanessa, where are you unlocking for us today?
Today, I'm going to be unlocking Lagos, Nigeria.
So cool. And it's turning into such a culture hub.
Absolutely. It definitely is. November, December, it's when all the festivals happen. So a lot of culture going on.
Let's get into an introductory guide for Lagos for somebody who hasn't been and is either thinking about it or is booked and now wants to map out their first few days in town. What are the things that you say are must-see or must-dos for Lagos?
There is so much to do in Lagos. I would definitely say get yourself to the Lekki Arts Market. If you're in town in November, the Lagos International Theatre Festival, of course, is a must-go-to for everything culture and arts. And of course, Terra Culture Restaurant.
Indeed. You've got some connections with those which we're going to dig into as we get into this conversation. If you were to sum up the spirit, the vibe of Lagos, how would you describe it?
Energetic. I would say Lagos is energy everywhere. Lagos is one of those hustle and bustle cities. So there's always something going on. There's always people outside. So energy.
And that actually links perfectly into a question that somebody messaged in for me. And that is Lagos overwhelming? If you haven't been before, maybe you've not been to Africa before, for somebody coming from the UK, America?
It could be. It definitely could be. I mean, the first thing that hits you in Lagos is it's noise. It's loud. It's a lot of people all over the place trying to grab your attention. You're hearing horns blaring all over the place. So it could be overwhelming, but I think you settle into it really quickly. As a visitor, you kind of just get swept up into this life here in Lagos. And all of a sudden, you know, you're navigating the streets. You're talking to like the local businessmen or women and you're just enjoying it. It's overwhelming, but everyone's really friendly. That's one thing. I'll say it's not just a Lagos thing. Nigerians are friendly people. So people are always willing to help. They're always going to ask if you're okay, if you need direction. So it's not too scary. It's not scary.
And how much does Lagos change depending on which neighborhood you're in? Where is a really good place to stay? And then where are good places to go out and visit?
Lagos is kind of split into, you can think of it in two ways. Lagos is kind of on an island. So we've got the mainland, which is where the airport is. So that's where you land. So you move from the mainland over the bridge, over the water, into the island. And once you start coming onto the island, it changes. I think the mainland is a bit calmer. And then you get to the island, which is where everybody wants to be on the island. Everybody wants to be in Victoria Island. It's where all the businesses are. It's where all the hot happening spots are. And of course, Lekki, just in case any Nigerians, because they'd be like, oh, what about Lekki? But Lekki Phase 1 and Victoria Island are the places where I think a lot of people want to come to. And as a tourist, as somebody visiting, it's definitely the easiest space to be around, because if you're in VI, so if you're in Victoria Island, you're connected to the major hotels, you're connected to the restaurants, the museums, shopping, the spas. Of course, these are things you can find on the mainland, but just navigating around in an Uber, it's easier to move on the island. So the island is the place to come to for sure.
Islands draw people in.
They do.
Manhattan is another island.
Yeah, Toronto too. Toronto has Toronto Island. And every summer, people want to head to the Toronto Islands. I don't know what it is. It's just community, I guess. Everybody wants to head out.
Yeah. Yeah. You did mention Uber. Is that the main way people get around, or are there other forms of transport? Is public transport something that tourists should consider as either as an experience or as practical use, or actually say, as a tourist, avoid this or that?
As a tourist, I would honestly say avoid public transport. There are a lot of safe transportation companies. There's Uber, we've got Bolt out here. There's eDrive, which uses only electronic vehicles, and all the cars are new. The trips are monitored and they have cameras in there. So there's no way that anybody can scam you or ask for more money or take you somewhere nefarious or, you know, anything like that. So I would stay away from public transport unless maybe you're going with a guide. But then again, I would stay away from it. I would just say stick with Uber. You can put it on your phone, same way you do it anywhere else. You know where you're going. It's the safest way.
What about walking around? Because I love walking. That for me, just getting lost in a city and seeing where I end up is a great way of experiencing a place. How walkable is it?
I think it's very walkable. A lot of people walk around. Certain areas, you'll see a lot of people jogging in the mornings. They have cycle clubs, so people will be cycling. So it's very walkable. I don't know about the heat, because it does get really hot. Nigeria gets super hot. So I would just be wary of that. But again, there's always places that you can pop in, get a cold drink, cool down for a little bit, and continue on with your walk if that's what you want to do. But you're completely safe and fine to do so.
In terms of the heat, when's it hottest and when's it at its most comfortable?
When is it not hot is the question. I find Lagos to be hot all the time, even when it's raining. I would say we kind of get into our rainy period from about April to about August. We get a lot of rain, but we're noticing that things are changing. I don't know whether that's climate change, but it's been raining a little bit into November and December. So we're seeing a little bit more rain, which is nice because it does cool down the temperature a bit. When's the best time to visit? I still say December. November, December are beautiful times. I think a lot of people come into the city for the ember months, as they say. We get into the film festival. You've got the Lagos Fashion Week happens. You've got LITF. The cinemas are packed. So November, December is always like you'll find lots of things to do.
I get the sense, and I haven't yet been, but I get the sense that Lagos is a cultural hub for the region.
Absolutely. I think when you think culture, when you think creativity, arts, Lagos is the place that I think everybody thinks of. We've got the John Randall Museum, which is a beautiful, newly renovated Yoruba cultural museum. And I mean, this place is gorgeous. We've got the National Museum that's got all of our national history. And then a little bit away out of Lagos, there's Badagary, which is where we have our point of no return, like where the slave ships and the slave trade and all that stuff. So there's a lot of history and culture and things to experience. You've got the Nika Art Gallery, which has all of the artworks and new art and old art, all that stuff. And it's a beautiful place to go to. So yeah, culture is here. Lagos is culture, yeah.
Lagos is also food.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Give it a review in your app while you continue listening. 5-star ratings get independent podcasts like Destination Unlocked noticed. Thank you for supporting independent podcasts.
Yes, it is food. Absolutely. Oh, I think that's one thing people always say about Lagos is there's always a new restaurant popping up in Lagos. I don't know. There's always a new restaurant. Anything you want. Do you want sushi? You can find it in Lagos. Do you want traditional Nigerian cuisine? We've got it. Do you want Thai? Do you want Indonesian food? It's insane. Like, there's everything here, honestly. Do you want like a 24-hour all-you-can-eat American buffet? We've got it. It's so interesting. But yeah, food is a big thing in Nigerian Lagos.
And is that because a lot of people have moved to Lagos? If they're going to move to Nigeria internationally, Lagos is probably where they've ended up. And that's why there's such a big mix?
I think that's part of it. I think there's a massive expat community in Lagos, in Nigeria, but in Lagos, yes. We've got a really big Indian and Lebanese and Chinese community. Of course, we've got the Americans, the Canadians, the British. So, of course, our cuisine is kind of reflecting the society. And as people travel out and come back, they're like, oh, these are experiences they want to have. So we're seeing a lot of Nigerian business owners open things like bubble tea shops, because bubble tea is becoming a really big thing now. And we've got, you know, that comfort food, things that they've experienced in other places, and they're now bringing it home for people to experience here. So definitely part of that is people coming in and living here and making Nigeria home.
And what would you say is typical Nigerian food? If somebody's going to visit Lagos, I'm sure they want their bubble tea, but they want to have some stuff which is traditional, some stuff which has been around for years.
Okay, so some traditional food. First off, it's suya. I think everybody always talks about suya. Suya is our version of the barbecue. It's skewered meat. You can get chicken, you can get beef. I think you can get like liver, and they cut them into like thin slices. They put some, almost like a satay, but a dry satay. So it's got peanuts on it. It's got a little bit of kick, a little bit of pepper, and they grill that and they serve it with cabbage and like tomatoes and onions. And that's like a staple night food. Suya starts in the night. It's a nighttime thing. At about 7 o'clock, you'll see the suya stands start to pop up. You can smell and see all the smoke coming up from the grill. So that's one dish. For a drink, I think traditionally it's always like palm wine or chapman. Palm wine comes from like the palm trees. And it's a local traditional drink that you have nice and cold. It's a little bit fermented. It's really nice when it's fresh and cold. And then a chapman is like a local drink that you will find at every restaurant. You can order a chapman, and it's a mix of like Fanta, Sprite, a little bit of Ribena, and like Augustina bitters. It's such a refreshing drink, and it's just everywhere. So those are some staple things. If you want something with a bit more like weight to it, you can go for amala. Amala is a dish that they serve with a soup. So you eat the amala with the soup. I think people might be familiar with fufu. So it's kind of like that. It's a dish that accompanies a whole thing. I call it like the Nigerian comfort food because it's really filling. It's really warm. It's like a stew with some greens and some beans. And it's, I don't know how they do it, but it's delicious. And it's my comfort food here for sure.
I've heard about, and I've been told that I need to find out more about this, small chops.
Ah, small chops. Small chops are at every event. Small chops are a staple. That is a perfect question. Small chops comes in like a nice Ziploc bag. They put, you get puff puff. You could think of puff puff as like a donut. It's like a donut hole. They come with spring rolls, they come with samosas, and they normally come with like one like little piece of like grilled chicken. So this is basically small eats, something to kind of nibble on and get you through an event before the main course comes. But yeah, small chops are legendary in Nigeria.
And where would you pick them up? On the street or in a bakery cafe?
Yeah, so there are actual small chops restaurants. So there's like Uncle Stan's is a small chop place where you can go and like order small chops, or you could go to like 12 Baskets and they'll deliver it. So most times it's companies that will deliver it to you where you are, or you can walk into one of those businesses and get small chops.
Oh, that's on my list.
Yes.
Let's talk theatre, because this is how I first heard about you. I love theatre. Coming from London, I'm blessed with so much theatre going on around us. And it's something that I always look out for when I travel the world. What's going on in the art scene? What's going on in the theatre scene in particular? And you're the festival director of the Lagos International Theatre Festival, which sounds so cool. Tell me about the festival, but also tell me about the experience of being the festival director.
The Lagos International Theatre Festival is an annual festival, happens every November, where we bring together about 20 production houses locally and internationally. So we'll do within Nigeria, so Abuja, Port Harcourt and Lagos. And then this year we had groups from South Africa and the United States. So it's almost like a week-long event. We've got the pre-festival days where we'll do networking nights, theater meets food. Of course, food is a big thing here. So theater meets food, where we'll have industry experts, big theater actors, film actors come out and hear about the festival, watch some performances. And then we also do conversations and culture in the middle of the week, where we have industry professionals come and speak to up and coming producers, actors, directors on different things like lighting. It could be directing for stage. It could be how to use dance as a way to express yourself. And then the festival really kicks off on the weekend, Saturday and the Sunday, where all of the shows are showing simultaneously throughout the day. We use one location here in Lagos called the Musan Center, and it's got 5 performance venues in there. We turn it into festival grounds. So we bring in vendors, like ice cream vendors, food, drinks. We do souvenirs and things like that. We've got people on stilts. We've got jugglers. There's face painting. So it becomes like a really nice place just to be on the weekend. So that's the festival. And it's always such a blast. So being the festival director is hard work, but it's rewarding work. It's always really cool to see what people are doing in the theater space, see different types of theater, from dances to masquerade performances to site-specific theater. It's always so fun to see how people are being creative in the theater space and to provide that platform, because I think that's one thing that we are really doing is providing a professional platform, professional stages, giving access to lighting designers, sound technicians, sets, all of that kind of space that people might not originally have access to. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of administrative work. It's a lot of meetings. It's a lot of putting out little fires, but it is so rewarding to get to see them perform. And this year was just spectacular. It was sold out venues. People were literally trying to buy tickets off of other people to get into different shows. So it was a lot of fun. I'm so happy and proud of how it went. And I'm so glad that our production houses did so well.
How many years has it been going?
So this is our second year. We kind of took over Lagos last year. We were in like different locations. We were on the mainland. We were on the island. We were in like 6 physical different locations, and we had it all going on through the weekend. So it was great. We really landed on the scene with a blast. And then this year we wanted everybody to come together. So being at the Musan Center really helped. So second year, and can't wait for next year. We're already planning.
I want to be there for the 2026 one. It sounds amazing. And your background is in theater. You're not just admin and organizing and leading this festival. You are a practitioner in theater as well.
I am. I actually moved from Canada to Lagos 2 years ago. And yes, in Canada, I did a lot in the theater space. I worked as an actor at first, but then I realized that there wasn't a lot of opportunities for people that looked like me. So I started writing shows, and those started getting funded and produced, and we started directing. And next thing I knew, we were doing theater shows every year. So that's how I kind of got into it.
I think one of the key things with theatre is what gets put on and goes out on stage gives you an insight into what's on the minds of people, what's the spirit of where people are at right now, the pulse of a place. Because a producer has to think what's going to get bums on seats and what's going to get people talking once they've left the theatre to continue getting bums on seats. That's the business side of theatre. What sort of stuff came up in the 2025 festival? What is the pulse right now?
You know, that's a really interesting question. There were a lot of love rom-com stories that people were putting on. It was really interesting. We had BAP Productions, Mrs. Bolanly Austin Peters. She did Dear Kaffee and My Boyfriend Calls Me Ma. And those are both kind of love stories. Dear Kaffee deals with a girl, Kike, who is dating in Lagos and she's going through it. She's dating the guy who's cheating on her. She dates the guy who's only using her for money. And then she finds this guy that's the safe bet, but she finds him boring. And then My Boyfriend Calls Me Ma is about an older woman dating a younger girl. And then we had Before I Let You Go by Masoud Fatah about what happens if you meet the love of your life at the bus stop while you're waiting for the bus and you've only got like a few minutes to talk to them. It was really interesting. There was a play called 99% Virgin, you know, what happened to the other 1%? And it's dealing about ideas around sex, which is a very interesting topic in Nigeria, which is a very Christian country. So it was really, really cool to see people using these platforms to deal with topics that are not necessarily spoken about so openly. Dating a younger guy, being a woman dating a younger guy, what's that like? Being a girl who's coming of age and she doesn't know if she's pregnant or not, and what do you have to do to get pregnant, and all those kind of questions, and dealing with it in a really funny but engaging way that you could talk about sensitive topics and not feel uncomfortable or make an audience feel uncomfortable. The children's theater was beautiful. We had one that was very folklore storytelling-esque, which is a throwback to something that they used to do here called Tales by Moonlight. And it was when everybody would kind of sit around outside and the elders and the community would come and tell folk stories. So it was lovely to see a version of that happen on stage. And then we had 80 students present Efushetan, which is a woman who was a ruler warrior here in Nigeria. So it was great history through theater.
One of the things that really strikes me about what you've described with the shows that you've pulled out as examples, but it also connects with me in terms of Nigerian people that I've met. There's the humor, but then there's also the conservatism. And so it's this balance, isn't it, between a really lighthearted, bubbly, fun environment and spirit, but also really grounded in tradition.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. It is finding that fine balance of, you know, humor, what's funny, getting people laughing. It's one of the things that I've noticed in Lagos, in Nigeria, is that people want to laugh. Life is stressful. I mean, you're living in Nigeria, so it's not the easiest. Of course, there are everyday stresses everywhere. So entertainment and theater becomes a space to decompress and relax. Humor is something that is key in Nigerian society. I think it's how we deal with a lot of things, actually, is finding ways to laugh about it. People don't want to wallow. They're like, okay, something's happened, we're going to continue, and they'll find a way to laugh about it and continue, which is just so amazing. It's beautiful.
If you're going to Lagos, but you're not able to get there in November time, so you're not going to be able to hit the festival, what's the theatre scene the rest of the year?
It's still going. If you come in December, Terra Culture, which is like the number one arts and culture centre here, does a Christmas play or does a holiday show every Christmas and Easter. So you'll definitely have something to see. It's music, it's dance, it's live music. And you've got like 60 dancers on stage dancing. So there's definitely lots going on. We've recently also just revamped our national theater in Lagos. We've got this beautiful 4,000-seater national theater that's absolutely gorgeous. So I know that we're going to see more programming coming out of there in the next months and for next year as well. So definitely a lot of things to see. There's always, always, always theater shows going on.
4,000 seats. That's huge.
Yeah. It's massive. It's really big.
What sort of things go down really well? Is it plays? Is it dance? Is it music focused?
I think it's shows that encompass all. So it has to have a little bit of drama, but music and dance always gets people. Singing, dancing, especially if you're finding a way to incorporate songs that are kind of a bit popular right now, or even if they're throwbacks, people will be singing. And you know, Nigerian audiences are so unique. Every time I tell people, I'm like, watching a show, whether it's in the theater or the cinemas, is such a different experience in Nigeria. If you go to theater in London, if you go to theater in Canada, you know, everybody sits down, they applaud at the right times, and that's it. People are talking back to the actors. They are making their one-liners. Like, they become part of the show. Like, they are so engaged. It's so much fun. You definitely need something that can keep people engaged and alive. So you need music, you need dance, and a little bit of that drama. Everything, yeah.
That's so funny. Gosh, it's a different skill to be an actor than in Nigeria. You're being heckled in a scripted play.
I commend the actors, because when I sit and I watch, I'm laughing. So I'm like, how are they not breaking on stage? How are they able to stay in this? And there are times when, you know, depending on the show, if it's a show that can allow it, you'll see them kind of break that fourth wall and they'll, you know, encourage it a little bit. Like, somebody would be like, can you imagine? And the actor would be like, I know, right? Like, can you imagine he's doing this to me? The actors are phenomenal. They're quick on their feet. It's always such a great experience.
If people want to check out the theatre festival and maybe book some dates ahead, where can they find more information about the festival online?
You can always go to our website, which is lagosinternationaltheatrefestival.ng, or you can check us out on Instagram at @officialLITFest_.
Brilliant. I will be checking both of those out. Beyond the festival, but staying with the art scene, I'm imagining that's what drew you across from Canada, because it's a big move. Canada's got everything going for it, especially in the art scene, great art scenes over there. So I'm imagining that it was a bit of a tug on your heart to get involved in the scene here.
absolutely. It's pretty much the sole reason I moved. I was doing a master's, so I was actually living in the Netherlands doing a master's, and luckily the program was, you had to come to the continent, because it was a master's in African studies, so you had to come to the continent and do some research, like a research internship for, I think it was 3 months, and I came and I interned at Terra Culture. Because I was like, I need to work at Terra Culture. I need to know what's going on. Like, there's just some beautiful theater shows coming out of there. I need to see what these guys are doing. And it was supposed to be 3 months, and I was supposed to go back. And I fell in love with it. I fell in love with just seeing theater being done like this at this scale. And I was like, I want to be a part of this in any way I can. So I had a talk with my now boss, and I was like, I would love to come back and work for you. I would just love to be in this space. And she was like, come back, come on down. So I, you know, went back to the Netherlands, packed my bags, called my parents, said, I'm not coming back to Canada. I'm moving to Nigeria. And I moved, and I've been here since, and it's been amazing. You know, the space is growing. I hope we see more funding opportunities in the theater space here, because people are so talented.
Can you tell me about some of the little creative hubs and communities that might be a bit more hidden in the city? If someone's maybe got a little bit more time, maybe not 3 months, but maybe they're staying for a couple of weeks on a holiday, they see the big sites and the big centers, but they want to dig in a little bit more.
I've mentioned a few of those little ones. Like if you're heading to Nikkei Art Gallery, the Lekki Arts Market, those are really like cultural spaces. There's a space called Crates, which is kind of it's this beautiful building that's incorporated the use of like milk crates. So they use that in their design, and they've got a comic book store in there, but they also have live performances on the weekends. They'll put out throw pillows and mats, and it's almost like a folklore thing that they do, and they'll have singers come and sing. Sometimes they do little presentations. So that's at Crates. What's another little hidden thing? You know what? There's one thing I will say. It's hard to pinpoint places, because something that they do a lot in Lagos is pop-ups. So there's an improv group, for example, that does live theater, but every week it's at a different venue. So they'll use different creative spaces that might not traditionally have been used for improv, and they'll do improv there. So they might use like a really nice cafe one day, or the next day they're using a bar area that they've kind of taken over. So it's really about making sure that you're following some good Instagram pages, like See Lagos. SEE Lagos does a lot of that, where they'll like tell you what's going on in for this coming week. There are apps that will tell you kind of what's going on in the city, because there is just so much going on. It's a lot. But yeah, if you go to those key places, Terra Culture, of course, Nikkei Art Gallery, go to Crates, people there will also be able to guide you and say, hey, this is going on across the street, or there's a souk that's happening this weekend. There's a pop-up happening in Ikoyi. You should go and check it out. People will always know what's going on.
And that's the best way, isn't it? Just chatting to people.
Yeah, honestly. And people are always very friendly. People always willing to sit down and have a chat.
Where's the best place to buy clothes and textiles? Because that's something that always comes to mind for me as well.
Okay, so for clothes, I would say the Lekki Arts Market. That's where you're going to get all of the boo-boos. That's where it's one place. Everyone's kind of there selling the bubus, the danshiki, those are the like African style tops. You've got the big pants, the ashoke pants made from the traditional fabrics, and you can barter. So you don't have to go with the first price they give you. Just do a little back and forth and then pay. That's the market. And then again, as you're driving around, you'll see that every week there's different pop-ups. So they have like little tents that will pop up all over the place on the island, selling clothes and things like that.
I love this pop-up scene. It keeps it exciting for locals as much as it does for visitors. You never know quite what's coming.
Yeah, no, I was literally driving down the street the other day and I was like, oh my gosh, like this is a little tent pop-up of clothes. I have to come back here. And I went the next day and they were gone.
Ah.
I was like, I guess they've moved somewhere.
So it's one of those things, see it and like it, buy it.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Don't hang about. And I love the bartering tip. Yeah. That's very useful to know. Another thing which I think would be very useful for people to know, especially coming from North America, is do people tip in Nigeria?
Yes, people do tip. You don't have to, but people do tip. Sometimes if it's depending on where you're going. So if you're going to kind of a bit more of a high-end restaurant or things like that, they'll include the tip in the bill. But most places, you can do 1,000 naira tip. It's normally fine. Or depending on what how much you've spent, yeah. But tipping, people tip.
And what does 1,000 naira sort of equate to? Because 1,000 sounds quite a lot in pounds.
So let's look at it this way. I think £1 right now is 2,000 naira.
Okay.
What can you get for 1,000 naira? You could get a stick of suya. You could get one skewer of suya, which is sometimes more than enough. It can get you like little things. Like 1,000 naira is normally... It can get you little things like candy, sweets, maybe a little bit of puff puff.
All the
like very,
stuff.
Very small. Yeah, right?
If you're staying around for a week, chances are you've got a bit of time to get out of the city as well. Maybe you want to get out of the city just to sort of cool off a bit from the hectic and frenetic side of city life. Where would you say are some really nice day trips or excursions to get a little bit beyond the heart of Lagos?
That you can go two ways. You can head into the mainland or you can head deeper into the island. So if you're going to the mainland, I think that's really to experience just different life. That's where it's a bit more residential areas. There's some really nice restaurants on the mainland. I believe the Fela Shrine is there. The Africa Shrine is there. So it's always a nice place for people to go. And then if you've got a little bit of time, I would say head towards deeper into the island side and start going to the beaches. There's resorts that are kind of down there that you can spend a whole day in. You can go horse riding. You can do kind of the quad bikes. I would definitely head towards Epe Resort, Lakoway, which you can do those in about a day. You could go for a day and come back in the evening for sure.
And Epe's got the fish market.
Yes, there is a fish market.
It brings it back to food. Can't get my mind off of it. What about beaches? Given that it's so hot and given that you've got plenty of water around, where are some of the best options?
Yeah, so there's Elegushi Beach, which is actually really close to the Nikka Art Gallery. On a good day, if there's no traffic, it's about a 20-minute drive from VI to get to Elegushi. And then when you get to Elegushi Beach, there's different kind of beaches on one strip of beach. So it's sectioned off. So you'll have Soul Beach, you'll have Wave Beach, you've got the Good Beach, and they all offer kind of different things. So Soul Beach, maybe it's a little bit more parties, they've got the cabanas. Good Beach is more like food and DJs and things like that. So depending on which one you want to go to, they all have different price points to enter. You pay one main fee to kind of get into the beach. So that I think it's like 2,000 naira to get in. And then you pay to enter the specific area that you want to go to.
Okay, so there's no such thing as a free beach.
No, there's no free beach. Well, not that I know of, no. Most places are... Anywhere that you're going to go as a tourist, you're going to pay for sure. Yeah.
And are you paying in cash or you're paying on card? How does that balance work?
To get in, you'll normally pay in cash. So let's just say it's Elegushi Beach. To get into Elegushi Beach, you're going to pay 2,000 naira in cash. And then let's say when we get into the beach, we want to go to the Good Beach. We can pay with our card or you can pay in cash to get into the Good Beach.
So funny that they called it the Good Beach, because it's basically saying all the others are bad beaches.
Yeah.
Very clever naming there.
Right.
Something that I find really surprising, given that we've been talking all about how Lagos is essentially this huge cultural hub and everything's there, and yet it's not the capital city.
It's not. It used to be. It used to be way back in the day, Lagos was the capital, and then they moved it to Abuja. And it makes sense when you see Abuja and Lagos. Abuja just has much more space. Things are a bit calmer. It definitely gives capital vibes. It's a bit more slow. And it makes sense. Lagos is so densely packed and busy, and it would be so tough.
Would you recommend doing a couple of days out to Abuja to experience it? Or as a tourist, it's not really something to do?
I personally love Abuja. I think it's always great to go, and it's only an hour plane ride from Lagos, and it's not too expensive. So I would definitely say go to Abuja and get a couple of days in there. It's the beautiful city, the landscaping. It's like I said, it's really big. So driving, you've got Aso Rock, which is where the president lives. And it's like a really big rock that they say has a face in it. It's got all this like lore around it. I would definitely say it's worth doing a trip to Abuja for sure. Most definitely do it.
The wrap-up, round-up, quick-fire finish is now ready for boarding.
Back to Lagos, and I would like to know your top thing to see or do.
Top thing for me to see would be seeing a theatre show at Terra Culture. Absolute must do. It was on my bucket list, so yes.
What's your top tourist trap to avoid?
You can do a lot of things by yourself. You don't need a guide, per se. You don't always have to pay for a lot of things. A lot of things are free. So I would say avoid people who keep asking you for money or saying, oh, you have to pay to get in here. A lot of these places have websites. Make sure you check so you know and nobody's trying to upsell you on it with a fake price, because something might be a 2,000 naira and they're telling you to pay 10,000 naira because they think you don't know. So I would just avoid paying to enter into a lot of places, unless it's like, you know, a museum or the beach. Most places are free to get into.
What's your favorite time of year for someone to visit Lagos?
December. Absolutely. Dirty December. Everything's going on. Theaters happening, concerts, all of the stars are doing, like Davido, Wizkid, Burna Boy, they'll all be performing. December is the best time.
If somebody's thinking about going, or indeed they've booked and they want to get into a good book or a film about Lagos or just connected to it to get them in the mood, is there something you'd recommend?
A film, I would say Christmas in Lagos is a great film to watch. For a book, there's one that went a bit viral called Nearly All the Men in Lagos Are Mad. It's a really funny book.
And is it true?
I would say so.
What's your top food or drink to try when someone visits Lagos?
You've got to go with the Chapman and the Suya. It's combination perfection, yes.
And final question. If somebody's heading out there and they want to get a good authentic souvenir, not a fridge magnet or a cap, what can they get that's from Lagos and is authentically connected to Lagos?
So the public transport here on the mainland, they're called Danfo buses, and they're very distinctly Lagos. The minute you see them, you know it's a Lagos bus. They're yellow and they have a black stripe that goes across them. So I think getting a little carving of them is always really nice, because sometimes they'll say like Lagos, they'll like write Lagos on the carving, and they're really small. So you can get them, well, you can get them in any size, but you can get the small ones that you can put in your like hand luggage or something.
Vanessa, from the Lagos International Theatre Festival, thank you so much for unlocking Lagos for us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you very much again to Vanessa Jev, the director of the Lagos International Theatre Festival, for giving us an insight into her adopted home and especially giving us that insider view of the art scene there. If you head on out there, do make sure to get some time in at the music venues, at the theatres, and send me a message afterwards. Tell me what you think of it. Can't wait to hear. If you've just found Destination Unlocked today, then do consider following the podcast wherever you're currently listening. That way you'll be able to easily find us again the next time you want to discover somewhere new around the world. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.